Songs of Solomon, chapter 8. I was looking back through some notes this week, and I was thinking about this scripture, and I thought, well, I preached on that before, so I just looked back through my notes to see when I preached on it last, and since 1911, or since 2011, I have preached on this four times. This is the fifth time I preached on this text. I trust they've not all been the same message, but it's the same principle behind it. And here's where the passage says to us, verse 5, who is this? Songs of Solomon chapter 8 and verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Who is this coming up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Now, some of you remember that text. I preached from that, I think, 2 or 3 years ago to some of you. But we see three people in this text. We see somebody leaning on somebody else. Somebody is leaning on another person that is called her beloved. Who is this that comes up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? And then we got a third person here. Somebody noticed this. And they asked this question, who is this that is leaning upon her beloved? And we seem here in verse 5 to have this picture of this woman, or a wife, the Shulamite woman, Solomon's spouse, his wife. And it's a beautiful picture. We've all seen this. Of this woman, this wife, leaning upon somebody, her husband, and she's leaning upon him because she feels welcome to lean. She's leaning upon him and she's enjoying her leaning upon him. We've all seen this, haven't we? We've been out somewhere, maybe to a store. We've watched a man and his wife come across the parking lot, and she's leaning on her husband. And I always love to see that. That's such a beautiful picture to me of what a marriage should be. You've seen a wife sometime when she feels like maybe she's afraid, and you've seen her just hold your husband's arm and snuggle up against him because she trusts he'll protect her. You've seen a wife walking across the parking lot and the wind is cold and it's blowing, and she snuggles up and cleaves to her husband and she finds warmth there. And sometimes she just does it because she finds so much joy in it. It's just a pleasure for her to lean upon her husband, her beloved. And this is what is represented to us here in verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Now, you and I know who the beloved is. We proved that in other messages that we preached on this, but all through this book of Songs of Solomon, 30-something times, if my memory serves me right, the church refers to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as her beloved. And we know who it is that's leaning. That's his spouse. That's the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over here in chapter 4, and you can see that everywhere in the New Testament. Chapter 4 and verse 8. Everywhere in the New Testament, we're told the church is the Lord's bride. That's the bride or the wife of Christ. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and he said, I have espoused you to one husband, and that is Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And so she leans upon him. Look how the Lord says it here in Songs of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 8. Here he is talking to the church. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the tops of Amana, from the tops of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Ain't that amazing that Christ would talk to his wife that way? You think she's ravished with him? She is, but he's ravished with her also. And in Songs of Solomon chapter 4 in verse 9, he said, Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thy ointment than all spices? Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. This is what we say about our husband, isn't it? What we say about Christ, how he smells. The words of grace that come out of his mouth. Now he turns right around and says it to his wife. What a wonderful, close, loving relationship the church has with her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. So she leans upon him. She leans upon him. This leaning upon the Lord Jesus, I looked this word, what it meant to lean, and it means to put your weight against something. We all know what it is to be tired and lean against the wall, don't we? That's what this word means. It means to lean against something. But it means more than to lean against something. It means to rest your weight upon something. So here we're told that she leaned against the Lord Jesus and she reclined her weight upon him. This word recline, to lean, it means it's where we get our word recliner. We recline in a recliner. That's the same word here. The church is said to recline, to rest upon her beloved. And this word means to trust. To lean means to trust. You won't trust your weight against something if you're not sure it's going to hold you. If you see a sign, don't lean on the railing, and there's a huge drop-off, you're not going to lean against that railing. If you touch the railing and wiggle it a couple of times, you say, man, I'm not leaning against that. That's too dangerous. But here, she felt that she was able to lean all her weight upon her beloved against him because she was able to do so because he was able to hold her. That's how sturdy she felt her beloved was. But it don't just mean to rest your weight against. It means to rest your weight upon. It means to recline upon. And that's what she was doing. She was putting all her weight upon her beloved. And you know why she did that? She felt that he was able to carry that weight. He wasn't some little feeble husband. He wasn't weak or sickly that she had to help along. But she felt that he's so able, he's so strong, I can just put all my weight upon him without any fear of him failing. I was watching a video. We had visited out in the Grand Canyon, and I came back, and I wish I'd have saw this just to see it. But I was watching on a video, they put a glass walkway out over a portion of the Grand Canyon. And you can walk out on that walkway and look down for hundreds of feet underneath that glass walkway. Would you got out on that glass walkway? A man-made glass walkway, hundreds of feet, not me. You know why? I wouldn't trust it. I'm afraid it would not be able to hold my weight. But the little Shulamite woman, the church doesn't feel that way about her beloved. And you know the consequences of him not being able to hold her weight far exceeds the consequences of that glass out in the Grand Canyon not holding your weight. If we fell off that thing or that thing collapsed, that would be bad enough. But what if we put our trust, what if we leaned upon someone that he wasn't able to bear our weight? Out there it's just temporal consequences. Boy, but the consequences we face in our salvation and the world that's to come, that's of eternal consequences. We don't trust a glass walkway to hold our way. We trust a sovereign Savior to save us. Well, that has consequences to it, doesn't it? And that's what she was talking about here. I'm going to put all my weight on Jesus, my Savior. And boy, the consequences behind that. Could I give you just three or four examples? You're here this morning. And don't you feel like sometimes that you're just such a heavy sinner? And sometimes you just wonder, is the Savior able to bear my weight? Can He hold such a one up as heavy as I am? Can He? Have you leaned all your weight upon Him to be saved by His strength? You need a righteousness, and I need a righteousness that we don't have by nature. And God requires it by nature. Where are we to find that righteousness? In somebody outside ourselves. We have to lean on Jesus as our righteousness, don't we? Boy, this teaches some good doctrine. It's got good theology in it. When you think of your acceptance with an eternal God, who do you lean on as your acceptance? Do you lean on the Beloved? You know, the Bible says we're accepted in the Beloved. You're here this morning, and boy, you feel with the rest of us that, boy, sometimes my sins is just like mountains. They climb and climb, and there's so many, and they're so heavy. Who do you lean on to cleanse you from all your sins? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's good theology, isn't it? Who do we lean on for our acceptance? Who do we lean on to cleanse us from our sins? Who do we lean on as all our righteousness? Who is it? Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Beloved. The Beloved of God and the Beloved of our hearts. Whose arm do you lean on when you feel yourself in trouble? You lean hard on Him, do you not? Fear not, O Jacob, I will help thee. That's where you lean on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you lean on for your strength as you go through this worldly wilderness? You lean on your Beloved, don't you? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You lean on His strength, the Beloved. Whose love do you lean upon to secure you in this dangerous world? Jesus, my Lord. Jesus the Christ. Who can separate us? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. We lean on His love. Listen to this. Whose intercession do you rest in as your access to the Heavenly Father? Well, through Jesus Christ. We lean on His intercession at the right hand of God. He's our priest. He's our mediator. He's our advocate with the Father. And when you go into the Father's presence, you lean on the name. You lean on the merits and intercession of your Savior. Isn't that good theology? We just read over this and we say, here she is leaning on her Beloved. But why is she leaning on Him? For all of these things, for all of these blessed things, she's leaning upon Him. Upon whose word do we rest our hope? Upon the word of our Lord, do we not? This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. We lean hard upon the word of Christ, standing on the promises of Christ my King. That's where we stand, that's where we lean, isn't it? What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. All kinds of songs that we could quote that talks about this leaning church, leaning upon her Beloved. Everlasting, strong, sovereign arm of our Lord. I have peace. Wasn't that what He said? I have blessed peace My Lord is so near, leaning on the everlasting arm. So the church puts her confidence, her trust in the Beloved, and she does so because she believes that He's able to hold her. You believe that your Beloved is able? Is He able? You know, Abraham, when the Lord made promises to Abraham, the promises, humanly speaking, was, it got to the point where you think, man, this is ridiculous. This is plumb ridiculous. The Lord said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. You and Sarah. He was 75 years old then. And 10 years went on. 20 years went on. 25 years went on. He was 100 years old. And yet he lived in the faith of this, that God who promised was able to perform. And that's what the church says here. Oh, I'm a poor sinner. I'm a heavy sinner. And I need a strong Savior. So she casts her weight upon Jesus, the Savior. And she said, I believe that He's able to save me. I believe He's able to get me through this world, this wilderness, to the world that's to come. You believe He's able? That's what she casts. Why she cast her soul upon Him. He's able. King Sennacherib, he was a wicked man. The king of Assyria came against Judah and took all the defense cities. I can't imagine the people that were killed, the women that were raped, the children that was beheaded. He was a bad man. And he came all the way to Jerusalem and made that awful speech to those Jews sitting on the wall. And Hezekiah got a letter from him threatening him to what he was going to do to him. He took it in and he laid it before the Lord and he prayed. And the Lord answered his prayer and he said, he's not going to shoot a spear in this place. And Hezekiah, here's what Hezekiah told the Jews in Jerusalem. He said, be strong, be courageous. Don't be afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria and for all the multitude that's with him. For there be more with us than is with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us, and he will fight our battles. That's what he told them. And you know what the Jews did in Jerusalem? I love this. They rested themselves, they leaned themselves upon the words of Hezekiah. Why? He's able. He's able. Just His presence alone is more than all the demons of hell or all the enemies of mankind or the circumstances we face. He is with us to help us. That's His promise. Lean hard, brothers and sisters, upon Him. Put all your weight upon Him. He's able to bear your weight. That's what the church did of old, and that's what the church must do now. Listen to this passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't lean unto your own understanding. Why is that? It'll fail you. It'll lead you astray. Don't lean to flesh. My goodness, it's weak. It's frail. It's feeble. Don't lean into your own understanding. Don't lean to carnal reasoning or all your finagling. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't lean to your present circumstances. They may be pleasurable now, but they'll change real quick. Where are we to lean? Lean on your Beloved. He never changes. He'll never be weak. He'll never fail you. Lean in on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarm. Lean in on Jesus. He's able. He's able. That's why she felt like she could lean, because He was able. Something else about her leaning upon her Beloved, she felt like she was welcome to lean. She felt like He desired for her to lean. He loved for her to lean on Him. And she felt that, didn't she? She felt, oh, He loves me. Man, I'm a mess in myself. Look at me. But He loves me. He encourages me to lean upon Him. Look in chapter 7, just one one chapter back, chapter 7, look here in verse 10. I love to read this book and see how the church addresses Christ and how Christ addresses his church. And here's what he said of her. I am, what she said of her beloved, she said of Christ, I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Isn't that amazing? He thinks so differently than we think about ourselves. We look at ourselves and don't we lack this? We think sometimes, how can he put up with me? How can he bear with me? How can he be so patient with me? I'm a mess. I make a mess. I'm always stumbling along. I see sin mixed with everything I do. I abhor myself. You feel that way about yourself. You get so disgusted with your own weakness and utter inability. And then we turn right around and we misjudge our Lord so awfully. We think because we don't like ourselves, he don't like us. And because we're tired of ourselves, that he's tired of us. We're disgusted with ourselves, so he's disgusted with us. Don't we judge him that way? And yet here we come to this place here in chapter 7 and verse 10, and it says, his desire is towards me. What does that mean? His desire. His desire for us to know him as he really is. To know that he loves us. To know that he knows our downsettings and our uprising. To know that he's pleased for us to lean upon him. No matter how heavy we feel, no matter how disgusted, no matter how sinful, it pleases him. It's his desire that we come and lean all our weight upon him because he loves us. I remember one time, and I think I told some of you about this, been several years ago. My wife, he loves to mow the yard. We had an old riding mower. And if it died, you had to bring the truck around to hot shot it off. Put the cables on, hot shot it off. It wouldn't start. The battery's bad, and we used that thing for 2 or 3 years that way. And my wife, he pulled it right, pulled the truck. I said, you'll have to get the truck. The lawnmower's dying on you. So she pulled the truck right up next to this well casing. You've seen them out in your yard where you put your well in and it sticks up. Ben Bill knows what it is. We put one in yesterday about 2 feet off the ground. It had 120 volts coming up to it and going back down in the well. My wife, he pulled there. We hot-shotted the old tractor off. And she pulled right over the top of that casing and snapped that thing off and fire flying underneath the truck. And I hollered for her to stop, and she stopped and got out, and she saw what she did. And she burst into tears. You remember that? And she fell on the ground on her knees. And she said, what have I done? What have I done? Oh, how are you going to fix this? And you know what I did? I went and got my arms around her and got her up. And I said, sweetheart, I never loved you any more than I love you right there. And I dried her tears. Now, she made a mess. And I had to be the one that dug down and cut that thing off and put an extension on it. It took me time and it took some money. But I did it. And I never complained because I love my wife. And for me to turn right around when I see my life in such a mess and wonder, am I welcome? Oh, Lord, what a mess I've made. Am I welcome to lean upon you? And to judge him so harshly and to think that he's not even the husband that I am. Oh, she leaned upon him because she felt like he wanted her to. He loved for her to do it. It was his desire for her to do it. And so she leaned. Don't listen to the devil when he tells you that Christ don't care for you. Look what a mess you got yourself into. Ain't no sin, you might as well forget about it. When he tells you that, tell him you know what a mess you got yourself into. Don't deny a thing he says about you. And then tell him, I'm going to go lean on my beloved. Where I've sinned, he'll forgive me. Where I've stumbled, he'll hold me up. where I'm weak, He'll keep me. I'll come up out of this wilderness in spite of everything, and I'll come up this one way, leaning upon my beloved. Boy, Satan gets us right here. He gets us often just at this very point, doesn't he? He makes us despair by telling us and showing us how sorry we are and how we failed and how we can't do anything unless we mess it up. Just agree with him and then go rest on Jesus. Put all your weight upon him because he welcomes you to do that. I have sorrow of my past. Don't you? Look back on my past. Oh, I've got so many sorrows. Things that I've done that I regret. I have some heaviness about the present situations that I find myself in. Don't you? Is things just the way you'd want them right now? No. And when you look to the future, don't you have some anxiety about it all? Don't you have things that annoys you? These thoughts that keep coming to your mind that you find you just can't rest, you're not content because of these annoyances. You know what to do with all of that? Take it all. Take yourself and everything that annoys you and just lean it all on your beloved. He'll carry you and he'll carry everything that annoys you. A dear friend of mine told me one time of this lady that was on a city bus and she had a heavy suitcase. And she couldn't get a seat. So she stood with that heavy suitcase, holding on to the pole in the middle of the bus with that heavy suitcase. And she'd change hands and holding block after block, holding that heavy suitcase. And finally the man standing next to her said, "Lady, if you'll set that suitcase down, this bus will carry it and you too." You know, it's wonderful when we bring ourselves to lean upon Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior in the matter of our salvation. That must be done, and that's a wonderful thing. But isn't it something else altogether to continue to lean upon Him? In all the circumstances you face in your life, spiritually and physically, to bring it all to Him and cast all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. I was reading this over last week, and I thought, I've been trying to figure out who these bystanders are. Who this person was that said, "Who is this that comes up from the wilderness?" And I'm wondering maybe if the church is saying it about herself. It amazes me that I can say this about myself. Who am I that I'm leaning on my beloved? I can't hardly believe it, can you? Me leaning on the Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory, for my salvation and all my needs, to carry all my weight and all my troubles. I'm doing that? Who am I? Just a poor old sinner, but I got a great Savior that carries all my weight. Bless His holy name. Sometimes I wish I was a Pentecostal. I would just shout, you know, take off and run and shout.
It might be a little bit.
Jim said I may have a little bit of that in me. I've managed to stay behind the pulpit, don't I? Something else, I'll finish here in just a minute. I'm just giving you some thoughts about this. This denotes something else, her leaning on her beloved. Doesn't this denote that her beloved is near to her? You can't lean on somebody if they're 4 or 5 feet away, can you? They've got to be close. Do you ever wonder, is Christ near me? Is He walking with me? Is He by me? If you have a heart to lean all your weight upon Him, as we've been talking about, you can know that He's with you. Because He's giving you the heart to lean upon Him. And if you're leaning upon Him, that means He's come close. He's come close enough for you to lean upon Him. Yes, if you're leaning on Him, He's with you. He's near you because He's carrying your weight. That's a good source of assurance, is it not? The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a present help in the time of trouble. He's near to them who are of a broken heart. What nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? He's near. You lean in, He's near you. Next time you get in trouble and you wonder if He's near you, you leaning on Him in your trouble. You can know, yeah, He's right here. I wouldn't be leaning on Him if He wasn't close. Something else about our text, and we love this church here when we read this part about what she's doing. It didn't say she was leaning on her beloved, or that she intends in the future to lean on her beloved, but the Scripture says she is leaning on her beloved. Presently leaning on her beloved. You know, we shouldn't live too much in past experiences. I love experiences. I don't want to spend all my time in the past. Do you? You know, somebody asked when the Lord saved you. I think I know when He saved me. But I tell you, I want to lean on Him right now. I don't want to think about what's going to happen tomorrow. Just right now satisfies me, don't you? Newton used to say, Lord, if I've never loved You, let me start now. If I've never trusted You, I trust You now. And that's what she's doing. She's leaning now upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want, brothers. I want something up to date. Where are you right now? Who are you leaning on at this point in time? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what she did. She came up out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved. Leaning. Always leaning. Go back a month ago, she was leaning. Today she's leaning. I bet you a month from now she's leaning. That's the believer's walk. He's always leaning. To whom coming? He's always coming. Always leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think it's possible that a believer could so lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ that even he's in this troubled world surrounded by so many troubling circumstances, do you think it's possible to lean so heavily upon Him, so continually upon Him, you could have continued peace in your mind? You think that's possible? You know what the Bible says? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. It's possible. I've never did it. And you probably haven't either. But the cause is found in us. When we don't lean, when we don't trust, when we look to ourselves or we look around at the waves, that's when we lose our peace. But I'm telling you, leaning upon Him, there's peace. There's rest. There's got to be. I preached a message one time about the poem. I quoted that poem about, don't even know for sure how it goes, but it's the poem that says, you know, the Lord was, I was walking with the Lord, and then when I got in trouble, I just saw one set of footprints, and I said, Lord, why did You forsake me during this time of trouble? Because I walked alone, there was just one set of footprints, and the poem says, that set of footprints You saw was me carrying You. And I finished that message and left and got out of the pulpit. Greg don't probably remember saying this, but Greg said to me, he said, you know, when I look back over my Christian life, I just see one set of footprints all the way. I thought, man, there's a passage that says that. If you want to turn over here with me in Isaiah chapter 46, I thought when Greg told me that, I thought, you know, the Scripture says that. There's always just one set of footprints because the Lord Jesus is carrying us. And look how He says it in Isaiah chapter 46, and look in verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the inhabitants of the house of Israel. which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hair, gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and deliver you. To whom will you liken me? He's carrying us from the womb of the new birth all the way to heaven. He's carrying us. You know something? If you're a child of God, if you're a believer, you know something? He's carrying you. Will you realize it or not? But when you realize it, when we live in the faith that He's carrying us, that's when the peace of God keeps our minds and hearts. That's perfect peace then, isn't it? She's leaning upon her beloved. And she's aware that she's welcome to. She's aware that He's able to pack her. And so she has peace. She's leaning as she comes up out of the wilderness. Oh, what rest, what peace she must have had. Let's look quickly at this. She is coming up. Where's she coming up from? The wilderness. You know, the Bible's got a lot to say about the wilderness. And it denotes this world. It's like this world. This world is a wilderness. Let me just quote some scriptures to you. Now, what the Lord says about the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 32, He found thee in the desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. Wasn't that where He found you? Ain't that a good way to describe this world? A waste, howling wilderness. That's where He found us. That's where the shepherd went after his sheep. Deuteronomy 8, the Lord led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, and where there was no water. Jeremiah 2, He led you through the land of desert, pits, drought, and the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. List of Psalms 107. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Oh, what kind of a place is this world you and I live in? It's a place full of wicked, fallen serpents, isn't it? And boy, they bite you. They hate us. It's full of scorpions that sting us. It's a world that has no bread of life, no water of life. Is this world helping you towards heaven? Oh, it's not, is it? That's where the bride's coming up. She's coming out of this world. A world that hates God. Somebody asked me about my trip in Tennessee, and I said, it's the same way in Tennessee as it is up here. Everybody you run into down there loves Jesus. Shacking up, living together, unmarried, drunks, use God's name in vain, and you try to talk to them about the Lord, and first thing out of your mouth, out of their mouth, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. They're still in this world. They love the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But not so in our text. What's the church doing? She's coming up from it, isn't she? It didn't say she had already got out of it. But I tell you, she's turning her back on it. She's coming up from this world. It's not her home anymore. She recognizes this world as the enemy of God. And it's the enemy of the church. And she's turned her back on this world. Oh, what a dangerous world it's in. Look how many it's swallowed up, brothers and sisters. The wilderness that Israel went through swallowed up Korah and all of his rebellious friends, just opened and swallowed them up. And how many have you and I seen that we know and we loved and this world has swallowed them up? And they've gone down into the pit. This is a dangerous world. If you die in love with it, you die in it, you'll die forever. You find this church coming up from it. Coming up from it. This world, this wilderness too, is like our old nature, isn't it? Our old nature. It's a barren place. It don't produce anything that's good, anything that's spiritual, anything that's accepted of God. It's just like the wilderness children of Israel wandered through. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Can't produce anything but sin, can it? And that's your old nature. Aren't you glad He's given you a new nature? Oh, this wilderness. This wilderness. And this is encouraging to us. It doesn't say that she's come out of it, but she's coming up. She's coming up from it. She's always coming up from it. We've got to be careful about judging one another because we haven't come completely out. You say, boy, they need to come out of the world. Every one of us do. But it's not as easy said as done, is it? Old Rolf Barnard used to say, a Christian is like the Mississippi River. I bet the Irvins have flew over the Mississippi River before in their plane. I flew over it in a jet going out west, and he said the old Mississippi is just as crooked as it can be. Sometimes it even bends back north. But he says it's inclined to go south. It's headed to its destination. It's going to the Gulf. And that's where it winds up at. Sometimes you look at a Christian and our lives is just so crooked, aren't they? They even seem to bend away from the Lord sometimes. But the bent of the believer's life is towards the Lord. It's towards heaven and spiritual fame. And that's what was said about her. She's coming up. She ain't out of it. Oh, don't you want to come out of this old nature? Don't you wish you didn't have Him anymore? You say with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Oh, I wish I could love perfectly. I wish I could believe perfectly. I wish I could never sin again. Oh, I want out of this mess. But you're not out of it. But thank God you're coming out of it. You're coming out of it. That's what's said about the beloved. And only one way to get through it and out of it, brothers and sisters. And that's leaning on the beloved. I don't care whether you call it growth in grace or progressive sanctification. I don't care what you want to call it. Ain't but one way to get through this world to heaven. Ain't but one way to live pleasing unto the Lord and live for Him. And that's leaning upon Him. That's it, isn't it? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? 42 minutes. That's not bad, is it? Be thankful I wasn't gone 2 weeks. Oh, the Lord bless you. Thank you for your patience and kindness. Lord, thank you. Oh, gracious, gracious Lord Jesus. You are indeed our beloved. You're so precious. And to think that you love us and care for us is more than we can lay hold of. How could you love us? The cause must be found in yourself. That you would invite us and woo us to come so near to you that we'd just lean all our weight upon you. Oh, what pleasure this must be to stay there near to you. Thank you, our Father, for providing for us such a great Savior. Thank you for the hope that you've given us. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for their kindness and patience to sit here and listen to your word through such a feeble and weak means. We pray for those who are sick, those who need your presence manifested to them. We pray for them. We pray for Nancy, Steve's wife. Lord, be gracious to her. She's lost her husband. Be gracious to her. And we pray these things and ask these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. One announcement before you go, you may want